You have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, the Bible says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while a testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood about both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and that without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ, which was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." I want to preach just a few minutes tonight, if God will be my help on this thought, in his will. In his will. As we look at this, we see the Word of God, and it begins to talk about that testament, and it begins to talk about an inheritance. Hey, man, I want to say tonight, if you believe this blessed old book, and you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have an inheritance, hey, man, I have to preach this morning about that legacy and a heritage. I want to say, praise God, if we got Lord Jesus Christ, and we've had the blood applied to our life, we have an inheritance tonight. Amen. We have something that's sure. We have something that we can count on. We have treasures, Brother Eddie, laid up in heaven. Amen. We have something that's far greater than anything we could acquire here on earth. We have something, praise God, that was given to us by God. Amen. It was given by the Father of high. The one that sits in the throne of glory tonight. Praise God, give us the best he had when he gave us his son, and his son came down, pray God, dug in and shed his blood. Amen. For old sinners like me and you. Amen. So we have a blessed heritage tonight in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bible says, verse 17, "For the testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Amen. That testament, that will is no good as long as the one that got the will is a living. But praise God, when that person is devised, when that person goes down, praise God, that last time, praise God, then that's when that will comes into effect. And we begin to see how God wants to move in each and every heart and life. Praise God. He's got a will for us, praise God, that he allows us to be a part of if we'll just partake in the what precious will of God. He said, "Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law." Now I want you to notice what takes place. The Bible says that he took blood of calves and goats. Now this blood of calves and goats, it represented the Lord Jesus Christ. It represented him and his justifying power. The power to make you, to praise God, cleanse you, to make you just as if you had never committed all those horrendous sins that you've committed in your life. It was because of that blood, the blood of goats and calves, and God, praise God, couldn't put away. But thank God, when Jesus came, his blood was sufficient, amen, to meet the need. His blood was sufficient to cover a multitude of sins, amen. But we have here in this verse, we have the blood being applied, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's applied with the water. Now that water is the Spirit of God. Amen. And that's that sanctification that He gives. And not only does He justify you, but He begins to sanctify you. He begins to set you aside. He begins to take it. He begins to clean you up. He begins to take those old rough spots and those blemishes off of you. Praise God. He begins to clean you up and wash you and make you pure again. Amen. He begins to give you that touch of God, praise God, that you need. Amen. Glory to God. So that you can be a fit vessel for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when that scarlet wood hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. And he goes on down. He says, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Amen. Amen. In other words, what he said, God's allowing that to be a part of who you are. He's allowed you to partake of the testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it was a blood testament. Amen. It was paid for by the blood. It was supplied with blood. Amen. He said it was the blood, praise God. And that allowed that testament to have the strength to stand. Amen. Saying this is blood testament. This joined you. He said, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all of the vessels of the ministry. Amen. He applied the blood to everything that was necessary for the ministry. He said, in almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And now shedding of blood is no remission. Now that word purged means purify. Amen. He said all things have to be by the law. He said have to be purified by the blood. I want to say, praise God, these nuts that's running around saying that Jesus didn't have to shed His blood. He says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no putting away that sin. Praise God, it's going to be there forever. Praise God, there's no remission. He said, there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? I say we ought to be praising the Lord for the shedding of the blood. Amen. Well, I won't say tonight that God bought us into this, praise God. He made us, paid the price so that we could get in and be partakers through the blood.
Amen.
But there's a bunch today. There's a bunch today, praise God, that would like to contest the will. Have you ever heard of that? You ever heard somebody come up and contest the will? Have you ever heard of people coming up and contesting the will and say, hey, listen, we don't think that the benefactor here, we don't think that we should honor his wishes. You ever heard that? I've heard that a lot of times. You get up there at the funeral home and the youngins get up there and they start fussing over mom and daddy's things. And they begin to contest it. Because mama or daddy left somebody just a little bit more than they left the other one. And they begin to contest the will. They begin to take the benefactor's wishes and they begin to set them aside. Amen. I will say we've got a will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we either got to accept it or we contest the will. I want to say, praise God, tonight I'm not contesting the will. I've been bought in, praise God. Praise God, I've been bought in. Hey, in His will, I've been put in. In His will, praise God, you were put in because of Him. Amen. But now sometimes you get a clever lawyer. You know, you can get hooked up with these shyster lawyers and they can have annulled the will of the benefactor. They can have that annulled. They can have that put aside. They can have it declared of not standing. Amen. I believe there's a whole lot of folks today in the world that we live in, praise God, that want to annul the will. They want to put aside this. What they want to put aside is the blood. Amen. They want to put aside the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to put that aside and say, hey, it's not sufficient. Amen. He doesn't really mean what he said. Praise God, I pray when Jesus hung on that cross and he said, it is finished. Praise God, he meant everything he said. Amen. Amen. When he shed his blood, when they pierced his side and the water and the blood come forth and the church was born, praise God, he meant it. Amen. Nobody tell you he didn't mean it. Amen. So now we know the Bible says here that a testament is not in full force till after a man is dead. So the ideal situation was that a man could write a will, have everything wrote out. In order to get it executed the way that he wanted it to happen, that man would have to come back from the dead and institute it himself. Amen. That's the only way that the benefactor could get the ideal through that he wants through. That he could get the will to work out the way that he wants it and the way that he specifies it. Yeah. Amen. He'd have to come back and do it himself. And you say, well, that's impossible. Men die and they can't come back. There's no way that they could do that. It's feasibly impossible. It is for us. But amen, it's not for Jesus. Amen. Hey, glory to God. He wrote the will. He put her down. He pinned her down in his blood. Praise God. He said, this is what my will is. And they said, hey, listen, a whole bunch of Jews and a whole bunch of the world. They said, hey, listen, we don't want none of that. Or we'll just go our own way. Do our own thing. We'll get in best way we can. He said, I've got a will. He said, my will is you come this way. Amen. He said, this, I proposed a will that you can follow. But you see, we got an idea that we can push it out and annul the will of the benefactor, which Christ Jesus the Lord, and still make it into heaven. We got this idea that we can go, we can do things and in our life, we can do whatever we want to do. Praise God, that's out of the will of God, and still make it in. We can disallow and annul and try to get this annulled. You get some clever preacher, some clever deacon to get up and say a few words and say, well, it's not really the blood. It's not really, that offering he made on Calvary. It wasn't that he laid down his life. All he had to do was go up there, and then that was all. It was all settled. I won't say praise God, it wasn't settled till he laid down on that cross. The Bible said he laid down his life. He shed his blood, and that blood was sufficient.
Hallelujah.
Amen. In his will. So what we see, verse 23, he said, it was therefore necessary. Now you notice that word necessary. So what was necessary to what Jesus did was necessary. Yeah. Amen. The testator, the benefactor, he said, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. He said we had to go in that earthly throne room. We had to go in that earthly altar, and we had to offer up those sacrifices that was earthly sacrifices. He said, but praise God. And he said that pacified for just a little while the earthly need. But he said there was a higher need. He said there was a heavenly and a holy need. And say praise God, when heaven decided to do it, heaven came down and it satisfied that need. He satisfied the holy throne and the altar of God. Amen. It came from on high. It came from a different place. This was offered by Jesus. Amen. He offered this sacrifice, this better sacrifice. When people tell you that it didn't take the blood of Jesus, you say hogwash. Amen. It took the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sins, to make a way, to pave a path for old sinners to get in. Amen. We could have got in, Brother Rex. It hadn't been for that blood that was shed on Calvary. We'd have never got in. But praise God for the blood. Amen. Thank God for the blood. He didn't hold nothing back. He shed it all. There's a few people say, well, it was just a few drops of blood run down. Bible said he shed his blood. When he said he shed his blood, it meant all of his blood. He poured it out, praise God, for me and you. Amen. He said, Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. Huh? Where did he enter? Said he didn't enter the holy place made with hands. He wasn't talking about the earthly tabernacle. He was talking about the throne of grace. Amen. You get a hold of this. Praise God. He'll bless your heart. He said, which are the figures of the true. He said, that earthly tabernacle, it was just a type and a figure of what was real. Amen. It was something that they put, and I will say they offered up her sacrifice. Me and Teresa was listening to it the other night, listening to the Bible through Scorby reading as we went home, and she was talking about Exodus and Leviticus and how they offered them all, and how them little animals just died and died and died, and the doves and the turtle doves and the sheep and the goats and the oxen were just dying and dying, and blood was being shed, blood being shed, and blood being shed, and all it was doing just pushing back just a little bit, the wrath of God, just another day, just another month, just a few more days, praise God, but it never could satisfy the throne room of God. Amen. It never could satisfy the Lord. Amen. He said, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, do you see this? Can you picture this in your mind? You picture God as he walks, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he enters into the portals of glory. Amen. He takes that blood that was shed, praise God, and he takes it to the altar and at the throne of God. How do you know? Let me show you. Let me show you this. Psalms chapter 24. Psalms chapter 24, verse 7, the Bible says, lift up ye gates, or ye heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The gatekeeper asks. the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He said, hey, it's the God of glory. Amen. He said, I've done paid the price. He said, I've shed the blood, and I'm coming to anoint the altar, praise God, with my own precious blood. He said, I've paid the price. He said, I've come out victorious. He said, open the gate and let me in. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what does he do? He enters into the Holy of Holies. Amen. He takes that blood and he goes into the Holy of Holies. I mean, I'm not talking about a tabernacle holy. I'm talking about a heavenly holy. Amen. That's where Jesus went. It's Jesus' blood. Hey, it was sufficient, praise God, to take before the Father. Praise the Lord. Into the Holy of Holies. Amen. And he did. He said he appeared in the presence of God. What he been for us? He appeared in the presence of God for us. What does that mean, Brother Rex? It means that he done it all for us. Amen. He lived. He bled. He died. And he got up on that third and fourth morning for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you see what's transpiring here. Our benefactor controls our lives. He controls our inheritance. Amen. He controls it, but he controls it from the resurrection side. Amen. He's not on the dead and dying side. He's on the resurrection side. And he's controlling our inheritance from the resurrected side. Amen. He's on the other side. Praise the Lord. Doing those things for us that we can't do for ourselves. So he says he enters in and he appears in the presence of God for us. So what does he do? He enters in there to deal with sin. The very power of sin. Amen? That's what he does. He takes that blood and he applies it on the altar to take care of the very power of sin in our lives. Why? Because he became sin for us. Amen. He took our sin upon his life and he became sin for me and for you. And he took his blood, praise God, and he paid the price. He bought you with his blood. People start saying, hey, well, you don't take blood. I tell you, it makes me hard to fight and mad. Amen. I'd be saying, because it was the blood. Amen. I'll rebuke it. It was the blood. It's nothing but the blood. Without the blood, there's no remission. I'd still be in my sin, Brother Charles. Praise God, we'd be lost without God. But because Jesus shed the blood, and he took it to the presence of God, put it on the altar for me and you. Bless his holy name. He says, verse 25, and he said, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth in to the holy place, every year with blood of others. Now you can see this. They go in, but these high priests go in, they take the blood in, but they must come out. And they would offer blood sacrifices for the people and for themselves. And then once a year, they'd take that blood and they'd go in, amen, behind the veil. They'd go into the holiest of holies, and the people would stand and listen. Make sure they were still moving. Make sure they were still alive. Because if they went in with, now listen to this. If they went in with any sin in their life, God would strike them dead. Hello? Amen. If they had any speck of sin in their life, unconfessed sin that they hadn't confessed and got under the blood, he said God would strike them dead. So they would listen for them priests in the Holy Holies. And they would wait for them to come out. Amen. And if they came out, praise God, then that meant that God had accepted their offering and he'd pushed that back for one more year. Amen. So these priests, he said, they go in every year. They entereth in into the holy place every year with the blood of others. So these priests, can you envision why this priest go into the holy of... Now this big old massive curtain, and it's like the veil was almost, I guess, a little over a fifth foot thick. And they would go into that veil. They'd part that veil and they would go in. And when they would come out, that veil would that veil would close behind them. And they didn't go back in for another year. Amen. They couldn't step foot in there in the Holy of Holies for another year. But I want to say praise be to God that we've got a Savior, and His name's Christ Jesus the Lord, that He went up, praise God, and He split the veil from the top to the bottom. And praise God, He went into the Lord. He went into the presence of God. He went in there for me and you. Praise God, right into the throne room of grace. He presented the blood. He said, Father, it's finished. Praise God. And He offered it up on the altar. And He turned, He didn't come out. Praise God, He turned around in the Holy of Holies and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Amen. To make intercession for me and you. Bless His holy. What a Savior we have. Our benefactor today, praise God. I want to be in His will. Amen. Oh, so many today would like to have it annulled. Oh, some other way. I get my inheritance some other how. There's no way but the blood. The blood-bought way is the only way. Oh, those priests, I can see them coming out of there. But I can see Jesus as He's sitting there. Amen. To make intercession for me and you. Why? Because He loves us. But He goes on and says, for then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The Bible tells us here that He came once. He came at one period. He came for one purpose. And He came with one payment. Amen. And He fulfilled it all. Lord Jesus, who did that? Jesus did. Jesus is the only one. It wasn't Buddha. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Allah. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that could fulfill the will of the Father. Amen. He appears. And he said He appears to take away sin. To put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Amen. So the Bible tells us here that in His past appearing, when Jesus appeared here before to us, He not only put away the power of sin, but he put away the penalty of sin. Amen? Because He appeared in the past. Because He came and he hung on a cross. Because He gave Himself as a living sacrifice. Amen? Not only did He help us to deal with the power of sin, but He kept us to deal with the penalties of sin. Amen? The penalty of sin, praise God, is death. But He said, because Jesus died and because He got up on that third appointed morning, we can live. Yeah. Amen. Have life and have it more abundantly. And the Bible says, and it is appointed unto man to die. Unto men once to die. But after this, the judge, you know, it's just appointed unto man to die one time. Amen. We say, well, preacher, that's all we die. If you're lost, you go to hell, you'll die the second death. Amen? You'll die the second death. You'll come out of the pit and depths of hell, and you'll be judged at the great white throne judgment, and you'll be cast in the lake of fire to die forevermore. Amen? But He said, it's appointed unto men once to die. Amen? He said, everyone, I don't care if you're just a little boy, a little girl, you've got an appointment to die. But amen, praise God, if you're a child of God, you've got an appointment to live. Because when we die, praise God, in this old body, if we're a child of God, we through because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because we are in His will, we just begin to live. Yeah, amen. Praise God. We begin to see. Now, there's a turning point here. Amen. There's a turning point here. And Calvary is the focal point of two eternities. Amen. Calvary is the focal point of two eternities. That depends on where you spend eternity. How many times you die. You're just going to die once if you choose heaven. But if you choose hell, you're going to die twice. And then you'll not die. Amen? If it was just to exist or not to exist, it wouldn't be so bad. But praise God, you're either going to live forever in heaven or you're going to live and exist forever in hell. In lakes, in a fire's torment. Amen? I mean, fire's hot. If you get close enough to fire sinners, your skin will begin to melt off of you. Huh? Can you imagine being a fire so hot that your skin feels like it's beginning to smolder and bubble up and melt off of you and be like that throughout all eternity, lost without God? When you choose to annul the will of God, when you choose to annul the testament of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood, you're choosing death forever. Amen. Who'd want to do that? But in this, he says in verse 28, he said, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. So he said, Christ dies one time too. See, a lot of times we want to keep putting Jesus to death and crucify him again and again. There's a lot of places, the Catholics, praise God, they've still got him hanging on the cross. A lot of people wear necklaces. Boy, I don't like that. They wear necklaces with Jesus hanging on the cross. But I almost have, hey, praise God, somebody needs to knock on their heart's door and pack them on the head and say, Jesus got off the cross. Yeah. Amen. He got off the cross, praise God. He got up from the grave, praise God, and he sat at the right hand of God to make intercession for even old dummies like that. Yeah. Amen, like me and you. Praise the Lord. But he said he was offered one time. Amen. One time he was offered. What did he do? Look over in Psalm chapter 24 again. He says offered up, and he's offered up for that he should appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, what he's talking about is promise coming. See, Jesus promised. He said, if I go away, he said, I'll send you a comforter. He said, I'm going to go prepare you a place. If I go prepare you a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Amen. That was his promise. But here he says, hey, praise God, said he's going to fulfill his promise. He died once, but praise God, just as sure as he died, he's coming again. Amen. And he's coming for me and you. Amen. How do you know? Because he says in Psalms 24, verse 9, he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Now this is the second time that he comes in. He said that, and the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. What do you think about that? Amen. He said, I am the Lord of hosts. Look around me. I've got all God's youngins, praise God, and I'm going to deliver them safe. He said, praise God, what God done? He said, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God, he said, he come to save and to save that was lost. And when he got a hold of them, when he found them, praise God, Brother Rex, when he found you on that day, praise God, he come to save you and he brought you out of that. Praise God, he pulled you out of the muck and the mire. Amen. When you got down and you got struggling, praise God, within yourself, he come back to where you were. He said, hey, come on, it's this way. You're going the wrong way. Come on, it's this way. You can't go that way. You belong to me. You got to listen to me. I'll take you home. Amen. How many times have you ever come to where you're at? How many times have you ever had to come to where we're at and get us by the hand, pray God, or better still, get us by the heart and say, come with me. Amen. That ain't the right way. Amen. Ever done that to you? Amen. Every day. Amen. He comes to where we're at, encouraged, because that's the Holy Ghost of God. And it's Jesus said, running, it's our benefactor, praise God. And we're just part of his will. And he said, hey, just keep coming on. It's better farther on. Amen. Praise his holy name. So we see this, and we see that he deals with the sin's power, and we see that he deals with sin's penalty. But in the end, when he takes us up as the Lord of hosts, he deals with sin's presence. Amen. Takes us plumb out of the presence of sin. Amen. We don't have to. Hey, listen. When we get over there, we won't have to worry about sin tomorrow. Hey, there's no sin in heaven. You know, that's what it scares me for people, because they live in sin, and they continue to do things that they know is contrary to the Word of God. But then they think they're just going to float into glory and everything's going to be okay. I tell you what. If you're a child of God and you keep doing that stuff, there'll be a rude awakening one day. Amen. God convicts your heart. And you don't do nothing bad. He may plant you on a hill somewhere. And it'll be a day of judgment when you stand before him and have to give an account. He said, I didn't want to have to take you out, but you wouldn't listen. We're hard-headed. As Brother Garland said, we're hard-headed people. Amen. But Jesus Christ loves us, praise God. He convicts our hearts. He shows us what we need to do. Amen. He said we need to be in his will. You know, Jesus has a will. He wrote a will. And he made us partakers of that will. He's our benefactor. He's our benefactor tonight. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's up there making sure that his will is fulfilled. He's making sure that his wishes are fulfilled in us. Sitting there. And you know what? It'd be crazy for somebody to try to contest that will. Amen? You try to contest that will. If you say, well, you know, it's not this, it's not that. It's the blood of Jesus. That's all it is. Amen? It's loving him. Praise God for what he did for us, because he shed that blood. And the person will be crazy to try to contest that will. Try to get it thrown. Y'all don't care what kind of slick lawyer they are, they ain't going to get that and throw it out. Why? Because the one that wrote the will died. And he had to. But he rose again. Amen. He rose again. He sat at the right hand of the Father to make sure that his will is fulfilled. As Brother Rex said in the prayer room, I believe it was, or up here maybe a minute ago, he said, hey, listen, said in John 17, he said, Father, I would that they be with me where I am. That's his desire. That's his will. Amen. We just need to be partakers of his will. I thank God for the will of God, don't you? I thank God that I'm in his will. Amen. I thank God that he wrote my name in his will. Amen. The benefactor put me in. Said, this one will receive rewards. Amen. Said, I've got something special for you laid up in glory. That's just, and he said, there ain't nothing, moth or rust or nothing can touch it. It's well preserved. I think Paul said, it's guarded. Amen. It's guarded. So we have somebody that, hey, all we got to do is just be in the will. He's already wrote the will. We just got to be part of the will. We just got to be in his will. If you're a child of God, they say, hey, you're in his will. Quit bucking against him, praise God, and just get on board and just let him help you, praise God, to get you to the finish line where we can be partakers with him and all he has for us. Amen? It's all about what he's done for us already. How about that precious blood that was shed on Calvary? He carried it up and put it on the throne of grace for me and you, that through his blood we might be partakers in his will. Amen?